my YouTube and my Instagram don't necessarily reflect what I'm doing in my business. It's more of a, I like to film the small jobs because, like I said, I'm trying to help guys start their business. So I'm showing them how I, where I started. So I film like crack repairs, tractor pipe fence. Maybe it's just a shop tour or how I set my mobile truck up or what tools we have.
Okay.
Business advice. So I try to, my focus is on guys, like I said, that are doing less than $1 million a year.
Right,
that's
right.
Where we're really,
yeah.
I don't need, you know, a guy with 100 employees. I mean, if he wants to watch, have fun, you know, maybe to remind him of when
he started. But you're not going to be much help to someone who's already hit that point.
No.
But so your business is Melton Metal Welding?
This is the YouTube.
Oh,
so Red's actually wearing the actual business. That's Vigilante Welding.
Vigilante Welding.
And that's based, the name is taken from the area. So we live next to a place called Virginia City, and there was no sheriff back in the day. So it was back in the gold rush before Montana was a state. So they had a group of vigilantes that got together to enforce the law because the highwaymen were just robbing everyone. So the Henry Plummer gang got together and started enforcing the law.
No way.
And that's, so the vigilantes were them. And now the local sheriff's department, and I'm going to forget the number it is, but it's like 377, I think. And that is the vigilantes thing. So they pay, local sheriff's department pays owed to the original vigilantes.
Oh, really?
So we're Vigilante Welding.
Nice. Yeah. So here with Anthony Jacobs, he's with Vigilante Welding out of Montana. And great story, just talking before we got started here about various things that you're into, kind of your background of where you started and everything. So you mentioned that you started the business in Florida, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So how'd you get into that, to the industry just in general?
So we were just talking a moment ago about my father owned a dump truck business. Well, he needed dump trucks welded. So I had a bouncy castle business at the side.
Oh, really?
Where I would work 2-3 days a week. And I had, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. I wanted to make a little extra money.
Sure.
So I started fixing his dump trucks, his equipment, whatever he needed, right? Well, then he would tell his friends about me. Oh, my son can fix that for you.
So how old were you?
18.
18. So how'd you have the background of even knowing how to...
Just started doing it.
Oh, really?
YouTube. A man named IC Weld. He's floating around here now. He was my through-the-internet mentor, and now he's a good friend.
No way.
He texts me all the time. I love to talk to Isaac. Isaac is... Isaac's a one of a kind. He's a very, very good individual.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple other people along the way, like Weldmonger, Jody, Welding Tips and Tricks. And then also Nick Bizzatis. So those three were my biggest three inspirations. And that helped me through the internet. I learned the basics, how to stick weld with 70-18, 60-10, 60-11, 60-13.
Right.
And that's basically all I knew how to do was repair.
Okay.
And I got pretty okay at it, you know, at the time. Good enough for him, good enough for his friends. Charging $60 an hour to his friends or something, just enough to pay the bills and make a couple bucks.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, you could, 2000, whatever, 10 or 9 or whatever it was. These days, obviously, you can't pay the bills on $60 an hour. you might as well go get a job at that rate.
All right.
So just word of mouth it was. First it was these guys with other construction companies that were friends. Then it was their friends. Then it was, this guy's a general contractor and he needs a column welded. Then it was, this guy has this trailer repair. And then I started advertising.
So
this
is like a network effect, basically, where people just started kind of...
Show up and do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
When you say you're going to do it...
Goes a long way.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, we weld anything, anywhere, anytime. That's where I came up with that, because I'd be out 2 a.m. welding if that was what it required.
Right.
You know, anything to succeed, you know. But...
So at what point did you kind of... start your own business then, if you were doing that stuff for your dad and his friends?
I was running a lot of the money through the bouncy castle business because I was just like, whatever, I don't know any better. I'm paying the taxes on it, you know?
Right.
But there was a point to which we started doing structural and it started becoming, hey, where's your insurance? And then I was like, oh.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was like, I need insurance, I guess. So, you know, when you're welding buckets for your dad and his friends, if it rips again, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, nobody's going to die, you know. But if a structure collapses, we got problems.
Absolutely.
I mean, so what I did was I started Melton Metal Mobile Welding. Kind of a mouthful. and I learned that the hard way. Don't make things a mouthful when you start a business. 3 syllables or less. That's the rule. So that's why we stick with Melton Metal now.
Okay.
You know, or Milton Metal Anthony, you know, and now it's strictly just my YouTube business. So a few years in, 4 or 5 years, I learned some hard lessons, and people kept asking me questions about it. How do you do this? How'd you get into it? How'd you do that?
Right.
And I was like, I just make a YouTube channel. So I made a YouTube, started making silly little videos. I mean, just stuff in my yard that I was fixing or people would bring to me, you know, because I was working out of my 2-car garage. And also running my bouncy castle business in a shipping container in the backyard. And I had employees with the bouncy castle business. They made me miserable because it was, frankly, unskilled labor.
Yeah.
And nobody grows up going, I'm going to be the bouncy castle man. You know?
He's basically babysitting.
Yeah, right. Babysitting felons, pretty much. Yeah. You know? And I mean, so did that. You know, made a lot of money with the bouncy castle business.
Did you really?
Yeah, tons, but I hated it.
Yeah.
You know, I loved, the part I loved was bringing that special thing to a kid's birthday. The part I hated was the nasty parent who clearly mistreats the kid being mean to me because they had to spend $400 or whatever it was. Right. I didn't hold the gun to your head and make you spend the money. Relax. Right. Or them leaving dog shit out throughout the yard and thinking I'm going to set my bounce house up on it and then getting mad when I ask them to clean the dog shit. So, yeah, that's kind of where we started. You know?
So how long did you have the business in Florida, and how big was it getting?
It got big. We actually welded most of the H piles underneath the bridge between St. Pete and Tampa, the Howard Franklin Bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're driving over that, you're driving over my welding. And what I would do is I didn't have the chops for a job that size. A company called Archer Western. This is, I guess, a side note, but an interesting story. How I got that contract, and this is a good lesson for anyone who wants to get into this business, I seen this really cool service truck. It reminded me of something that Nick Bizzatis has. This is an Oregon welder I'm talking about, but the truck was like that. Crane, really cool rotary screw air compressor, brand new Miller, all the stuff I couldn't afford at the time. I pulled in and knocked on the guy's door. I'm like, hey man, is that your welding truck there? Well, I'm not a welder, I'm a crane mechanic, he goes. I said, man, that thing's really cool. I really like what you got going on. Thanks. He goes, are you a welder? I said, yeah. He goes, I can't weld anymore. I'm 60 some odd years old. I can't see. He's like, we need a welder. He goes, you want to come subcontract for Archer Western? And if you know Archer Western Des Moines, they're a $10 billion a year company. So I knocked on this dude's door. I said, yeah, gave me a shot. First thing I made for them was this asphalt form. And basically it went on the front of a payloader. And they would feed it asphalt through like a chute, and it would make an asphalt curb. So I made that, and they were so impressed with it that the PM of the job, this guy named Taz, an ex-Green Beret guy, wild guy. I watched him pull a guy out of a loader one day, come out and started talking to me. And he just liked me. Give this guy all the welding. That was it. And then from then on, I was Archer Western's welder in the Tampa St. Pete area.
No way.
Well, it was bigger than I could handle.
Yeah, I was going to say, that didn't take long. You can't handle that.
So I started subcontracting. So I found other mobile welders who needed work and couldn't figure it out quite. And it's actually how I met Paul Sabalowski. Who Paul Sabalowski is he was one of the hosts at Weld.com. And Weld.com had invited me to go to their weld lab, which was in St. Pete at the time.
Okay.
And I met Paul Sabalowski. And Paul was like, man, ain't you that YouTube kid? I was like, yeah, I do YouTube. Man, I want to do what you do. He goes, good old boy. I love Paul. Paul's my brother. Paul came out and helped me frame that house that I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah.
This is before all that, of course.
Yeah.
So Paul comes out, and Paul's helping me weld tugboats, H-piles, whatever Archer Western needs.
Uh-huh.
We're making piles of money. Piles, piles. They didn't care. I could submit a bill. I mean, I didn't abuse it, of course. I believe in honest business. But I submit a bill and get a check 2 days, 3 days later. Love these people. They loved us. We did what we needed to do. So that went on for a few years. We both made a lot of money together, and a few other subcontractors that came and went, pipe guys, structural guys, guys that traveled the country, made a lot of great connections, and mostly through YouTube. So we did that for a while. We did sewage treatment. I met a guy named Matt off of Craigslist. I put a Craigslist ad out there, and this guy was just looking for someone to help him. Met him at a Dunkin' Donuts. Matt was one of the most interesting characters I ever met in my entire life.
Really?
Drinks nothing but espresso, smokes hand-rolled cigarettes while doing sewage work.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I love Matt. Matt's another brother.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys are much older than me, but Matt is, I doubt he'll watch this, but the best sewage contractor. The best. This guy knows everything about how clarifiers, how dosing, all of it, how it all works. And he taught me. So we were repairing sewage treatment plants in between the Archer Western work.
Okay.
And then we met another guy named Scott. He introduced me to what David Bacon is, and the David Bacon laws, fair wage laws. Basically, it's a government grant, and you have to pay a fair wage if it's a government grant.
Okay.
And I didn't have the chops to take on the type of jobs that he wanted. I was doing hourly stuff, mostly. This is the first time I started getting into contractual work.
Gotcha.
Scott gave us our first six-figure contract. And we went out there and we cut down a bunch of old stairways in a 2B homeless shelter and replaced them with new steel.
Okay.
He handled all the paint and the concrete work. I just did the welding and the fabrication on the stringers and the landings.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of my first videos where these were these stairway jobs and some of the Archer Western stuff. There's quite a few videos of me welding on lattice boom cranes and just whatever Archer Western needed, whatever Scott needed, whatever the sewage treatment plant people needed. If people were to go back in my YouTube 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is, they would see me doing what I'm talking about right now. But yeah, so that's when the business really started to take off in Florida and we started to see the bigger numbers.
Gotcha. Huh. And how long did you stay in Florida for?
I was born and raised in Florida. I lived in Florida until I was either 26 or 27.
So you had that business there for what, 3, 4, 5 years?
A business on its own where I wasn't pulling money through the bouncy house, probably 6, 7.
Okay.
Yeah, 6, 7.
At the same time, you're doing all that YouTube stuff?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. I think I started out when I was like 25, 24.
What year
like that.
Was that when you started doing like the YouTube?
It's like 5 or 6, 7 years ago, somewhere in that. No, okay. I'd have to look in the YouTube to know. But it's been a while now. It's been a slow growth thing. But, stay true to your core and...
You just keep putting content out there nonstop?
No.
The
house put a damper on that. That house almost broke me mentally.
The one that you built?
That not having water is a scary situation, like I was explaining to your CEO.
Yeah.
You know, like I was telling these guys, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting when you move out west. Yeah, scary. Very scary when you don't have water.
So, speaking of moving out west, so you, after, like you said, 5, 6 years in Florida... You moved out to Montana, correct? What was the reason, like, why Montana?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened first. So we did these big jobs. We started getting contracts. I started learning the contractual end of things. Scott, Image Construction, held my hand and showed me the contractual process, which actually I could circle back, and that's why I do YouTube, to help the way
others.
I was helped.
Kind of pay it forward.
Yeah. Paying
nice.
It forward.
Awesome.
What I'm not making. I make in one day welding what I make all month with YouTube.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So it's not. People think I'm doing it like I'm some rich guy. No, you make hardly anything on that. But so what had happened was we had finished up some big 6-figure contracts, some smaller on the lower end 7-figure contracts, and I'd sold the Bouncy Castle business. Finally got free from that burden.
Out of it.
And I had a lot of cash. And I needed a place to put it, for one. For two, you know, sitting cash is losing money. You know, I mean, the American dollar ain't getting better. It seems to be getting worse every year. I needed to get an asset. And I need to speak about this part of it. And this is why I wanted to bring it back to it. I had a burning gut feeling. Burning. Right before COVID, 2009, late 2019, early 2020. Something in my gut said, Anthony, you got to buy some property. If you don't do it now, you won't be able to afford the property out west. So I went out to the town that I live in, spent $45,000 on my parcel. These properties are now going for anywhere between $200,000 to $350,000. If I had done that, I wouldn't have had the money to build the house.
Right.
So I came completely out of pocket. I didn't take a loan. My father doesn't believe in loans. I don't believe in loans either. So everything I've ever done has been cash money.
Right.
So that's how I built the house. That's why I went out there and did it.
So... But why Montana? Like, what? I mean, were you familiar with that area at all? Have you been going there? What?
No.
No? I mean,
so I'd only been there once. Me and my wife got married in front of Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park.
Okay.
Got some shaman lady show up, only close family and friends. And she married us in front of Old Faithful.
Nice.
So we did that. We drove around, went to the town that I live in currently.
How far away is that from?
About an hour south of where I'm at now. That's okay. Where Yellowstone is.
Okay, okay.
We went out there. I was like, this place is beautiful. It's got mountain biking. It's got whitewater kayaking. It's got hunting. It's got, you know, mountain climbing. It's got it all, you know? It's got little craft breweries, a really cool whiskey place called Whiskey Willie's. Old ex-Green Beret guy owns it. Super cool dude. I ended up doing metal work for him eventually.
Yeah.
So I moved to that town, and I love it.
Yeah.
Love Montana. I had to get out of that heat in Florida. It ain't, I always say, you know, you don't want swamp ass. You know, just swimming in your underwear.
Never good.
No.
Oh, man. So you moved to Montana. Was the first thing you did, like, rebranding the business, or was it build the house?
No. So, well, yeah, I built the house. So I guess I should explain kind of the process. So, and this is going to be beneficial to guys who want to start their own business. The power of subcontracting, if you can get good subcontractors. My subcontractor supported me while I was building my house. People always ask, Anthony, how did you afford to take 2 years off to build a house? Well, the small income I'd get from YouTube would pay for, like, my food.
Sure.
But the money to keep me really rolling was through subcontracting.
To keep that business going.
We still had Archer Western. You know, we were still doing we were still doing six-figure contracts. Paul was basically handling that. I was still getting fed off of, we had a Home Depot contract. We'd go in the Home Depots and cut the columns out when they'd rot from the fertilizer sitting on them.
Oh.
And I have many videos of that.
No way.
And we'd slip in a new piece of column or just replace the whole column depending on what it was.
Okay.
Was it an H brace or was it a square tube, basically?
Okay.
And what did it support and could I shore the building?
And was this in a certain part of the country for them, or?
All through Florida. We had the contract through Florida to do all of the welding on all the Home Depots.
Okay.
So all of that, I was just sending subs out to do that stuff. So all that stuff was still feeding me and supporting me. Well, Paul Sabalowski, who I mentioned earlier, was a close friend and a skilled craftsman. It hurt to pull him off the subcontracting, but it would have hurt more to not have somebody help me frame a house.
Right.
So like I told you off camera, I couldn't find a framer. They were all either busy or they weren't good. Or the one guy that showed up was clearly on meth, you know? So I called Paul. I said, Paul, you ever build a house? I framed a wall.
Framed a wall?
Yeah. I go, you want to build a house? Yeah, hell yeah, brother.
No way.
Yeah.
Just drop what he was doing.
Drop what he was doing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Paul's a solid dude.
Damn.
He came out. But, you know, I showed him the game. You know, I took a 50-some-odd-year-old dude who'd never been self-employed, been a pipe welder, a career pipe welder, transitioned to being the host of Weld.com, and I showed him how to be a businessman. Now Paul is very successful.
Yeah.
I'm extremely proud of Paul. I love that guy. I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah.
So he came out and helped me build a house. And at the end of it, put our hands over each other's shoulder, agreed that we built a fine house, and he went back to Florida. So for about a month, it was just me and him, just framing a house, which is way too long for framing a house. But I didn't know what I was doing. I was on YouTube every night, which is another story. We don't have cell phone service on the property.
Oh.
And I don't have a place to put a modem. So I'd have to drive to the top of the hill every time I wanted to look at a YouTube video and drive back.
Get out of here.
It was rough. They said it almost broke me. But as soon as I have my mind, I'm going to do it.
Holy
one, no quitting.
That's amazing.
So my wife isn't with me at the time. She's still doing her thing in Florida, doing her business.
Yeah.
In Florida. Well, not her business. At the time, she was a dental, maxillofacial dental assistant, basically for the Lightning, the hockey team.
Yeah, Tim, but,
so
yeah.
her doctor, Dr. Green, very good guy. If you ever need any of that done, he's the dude. If you got your face broke, he's the dude to fix it. But she was his top assistant.
Okay.
So we'd go to Lightning games. It was fun because he was the official doctor for them. But anyway, so I wanted her to stay there because I wasn't in a good place and I knew I wouldn't be as nice as I should be.
Sure.
So I just stood there and by myself and I put the underlayment on the roof on by myself. So I'm up, this is a two-story house with 16-foot walls. So I'm up 20 some odd feet on the peak putting roofing on, and the place I live is notorious for wind. 70 mile per hour winds, unrolling underlayment by myself, throwing sheathing, just getting it done, you know, done. Don't matter. You got to do it. You know, I made a lot of good relationships. The fire chief in town was the first guy to give me my break in town. It's like I was explaining off camera. When you move into a small community, you have to earn the trust. People aren't used to that. People are used to being given things.
Sure.
You are not given things in a small community in Montana. You have to earn. You got to prove to people in town who you are. So I rented a backhoe from this guy, right? And I go to div my. I'm doing it all myself. I mean, the septic, the dirt work. I'm doing it all myself.
That's insane.
So before we framed it, I should backtrack here. I rent this backhoe from this fire chief. I get it out to the property and I'm digging the septic. Well, I need to shoot the boom out to dig a little further away. I shoot the boom out and it goes, "Wirt!" And I'm like, "What?" The dude before me broke the boom. So I bring the backhoe back, which I had to drive it the 10 or so miles back to his place, bouncing up and down the road. I bring it back and I say to the guy, "I'm like, man, the boom's broken." You know, he apologizes up and down. He's not going to charge me, you know, good businessman. So we kind of whatever. I said, "I'm just going to go to Bozeman and go get an excavator," because he didn't have any excavators left. Okay. You know, I'm sorry about that. I'm like, "It's all right, man. Don't worry about it." I go to Bozeman. I get almost into Bozeman. He calls me. He goes, "You're a welder, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You want to weld this boom back together?" I said, he goes, "Well, can you?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." I said, "In my sleep, no problem." I go back. I weld it back together. He's clearly impressed that I have the knowledge I say I have.
Yeah.
He's watching me. He's like, "Oh, God, this guy really can do what he says he can do." Weld the boom back together. Thing's still going today, you know, 4 or 5 years later, whatever awesome. It is. I get the machine back. I go back because he says after I fix it, he's like, "Well, why don't you just use it?" So he goes to me. I said, "Well, how long can I use it for?" He goes, "As long as you want." So, okay. So I end up using this thing for like 2 months. Guy doesn't even call me.
No way.
That's how solid this guy is. Sean is, he's the fire chief, but he's also... the snowplow contractor and owns the rental company and does all this charity work.
Right.
Incredible individual. Just one of a kind. You don't meet these guys every day. So Sean starts telling people about me. This guy really does what he says he can do, and he does it when he says he's going to do it, which is rare in Montana.
Yeah.
Everybody's either out hunting or fishing. They don't care. You know? So I start going around. "Hey, can you fix this? Can you fix that?" And I'm just doing it. I'm still running it through Melton Metal, the Florida Incorporation, which can get kind of messy on the tax side because now you got to also pay. You're paying the income tax for Montana because Montana has income tax. Florida does not.
Right.
So it's costing me more to do it, but whatever. You know, they're paying me my rate, whatever. I'm kind of back where I started, you know, in heavy equipment and miscellaneous whatever.
Right.
So I'm doing that when I can while building the house, and I'm building the house, doing that, living in a camper, building that. Don't live in a camper in Montana. Holy cow, don't do that. When it's negative 40 out and the toilet won't flush no more because the shit pipe is frozen.
Bad news.
Even though it's heated because it's negative 40 and 70 mile per hour winds on top. No, don't do that. Yeah. We did that for 2 years, living in that camper. So yeah, I made my first relationship like that. Lived in a camper, built a house, and then this past year is when I officially started, like about a year ago, maybe a little longer, we officially started Vigilante Welding.
Okay.
And then I met a couple of contractors, did what I said I was going to do, and I started getting awarded big contracts again. Yep. Nice. Right back on top.
Yeah. So it's been a year?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, it's going well?
Excellent.
So are you, the majority of the work that you're doing, is it all in Montana or is it around?
All Montana. I've been asked to go other places, but my bid ends up being too high. Like we got a nice guy down in Idaho, a general contractor, young guy, and a framer down in Idaho Falls, good friends. Through Instagram, actually, I made friends with these guys. Wanted me to come down and do stuff, but it was just cost prohibitive. And I understand.
Yeah, sure. So how big's the company as far as employees and whatnot in Montana?
So like I said, I like to stay lean and mean. So it's me and two other guys, and then my wife is subcontracted as our painter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we have right now, we're building a 2,000 square foot shop. We started in a 1,000 square footer. But you'd be surprised with even that small of a space what you can do if you keep your word and you do things on a timely manner. And you deliver when you say you're gonna, and it's coded the right way, it's welded the right way, and everything's in code.
Yeah.
You're good. You'll be doing good.
Nice. So, and are you looking as far as like future plans? I mean, I know you said you kind of like to stay lean and mean. Is that still the plan? Just to kind of keep things?
Yeah, we want to be sub 10 employees on that end.
Okay.
I'm looking at other investments. We'd like to have storage facilities. We're building a cabin on the property. We're gonna do a little Airbnb there, but we want to expand by property just for Airbnbs. I would love to own a campground, a little cost prohibitive in Montana, unless I can really raise some cash.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I'd like to also, which brought me to your booth. I would like to have a steel distributor.
Okay.
Eventually.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your guys' software really caught my eye, and that's how I ended up sitting here.
Nice.
I said, oh, you can buy steel all in one place, and you're going to do the legwork of talking to all the steel distributors. I don't have to make 7 calls in a day.
Exactly.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
That's huge.
Very, very interesting to me.
We get a lot of that feedback from companies who, you know, it's no secret, generally speaking, who the main steel suppliers are in certain areas, right? Like, I'm sure you know where to go, but after a while, it's like, why? I'm buying the same stuff for the most part over and over, and every time I have to call and chase these people to get quotes, and just over and over and over again. So the feedback we get from different fabricators of like, I can just, I'm literally have a list of 10 items and it takes me less than 5 minutes. I'm done. I know it's going to show up and I'm on to bigger and better things. So it's, yeah, it's cool to hear people kind of come by and share those stories with us for sure.
What I'm really excited about that you guys are doing is you're going to have a mobile app.
Yes.
Which, you know, like I said, we're lean and mean. Sometimes I'm on a job site and the contractor comes over and goes, hey, we need to have this, this, and this. And, you know, it's usually not extravagant. It's just a change order that's been made, which I'll go through and be like, okay, well, I'm going to need this steel, and this steel. It takes me 10 minutes to figure out the steel.
Right.
Now, if you have a mobile app, I can go ahead and get on the mobile app and just go ahead and download it or go ahead and go in the mobile app and then make my order of steel through that.
Sure. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've had the mobile app for a while now, but with, you saw the new release that we just came out with this week. That was first and foremost, let's get that out to the market. So we had to kind of shut that mobile piece down just for a short period of time until we can get that revised and kind of talking the same language as the desktop app. So.
Software is a difficult space.
It is. It is.
I've tried to play.
It's amazing how things you just don't even think about. That once you're kind of in deep with it, you're like, oh my God, some of this stuff is just, it's mind boggling.
What's the advent of AI going to do for you guys?
We definitely have some of that tied into our software. We haven't really kind of gone full tilt with it just because, we're small enough still to where, you know, we want to be the ones that are kind of learning some of the buying behaviors and estimating behaviors of our users and whatnot. But AI is definitely, I mean, it already is, but it's going to play just a huge piece in just the speed, making this even faster, more efficient, connecting buyers and sellers in a more efficient manner. But it's here. I mean, it's just definitely changing the way things are done.
I'll tell you what it's changed in my business, blueprint reading, and it's also changed contracts. I no longer have to call a lawyer. I have a lawyer look at it.
Sure.
But usually the lawyer goes no revisions.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah. I think you contract lawyers' days are numbered. I think doctors' days are numbered. I mean, not all doctors.
Right, right.
But your general doctor, I think their days are numbered.
Yeah.
I think your average accountant's days are numbered. I think those white collar jobs that are not on the top end, I think it's going to be quick, and yeah. I think it's going to be swift, and I think it's going to be very painful for a lot of people. I actually talk a little bit here and there about what AI, robotics, laser welding, the advent of these three things and where they're going to collide, right. Where that's going to take our industry. And I'm trying to tell these guys to get ahead of it. So right now we're working with a company called Theo. They're going to be sending us a laser welder out. And right now, the big holdback on laser welding is that there are no written procedures with like AWS or CWB to weld structures or pipe or whatever with these laser welders. I don't think pipe is going to be a big thing with these. But once those procedures are written, the door is going to be opened. I mean, what's going to happen is you're going to have less skilled welders that are more technologically intelligent, like they understand how to adjust the machine. But I don't know, have you guys gotten a chance to play with the lasers?
No, we never have.
Go over there to the Theo booth. Go play with them for a second, so you can see what's coming.
Yeah.
Because in about 2 minutes, you can make a food-grade quality weld on stainless after 2 minutes of training. No. Or usually that would take at least 2 weeks for a good guy, for a guy who can really understand it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like anything else. It's being streamlined. We all need to be ahead of it. We all need to be aware of it. That denial thing people like, not my job. Let's get real, okay?
Yeah.
You're not invincible. The world doesn't revolve around you.
Right.
And it may be your job. If you're a production mid guy, if you're doing menial tasks in the welding space, you need to at least increase your skill or find a space that's going to work for you,
right.
You know, and really keep your finger on the pulse of things. Everybody should be watching this thoroughly.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And is that stuff in your YouTube channel that you talk about, like kind of helping some of these up and coming businesses, or?
We talk a little. It's kind of more of a side note. It's not really the main focus. It's more, you know, because the way you establish a business is going to change in the fact that it gets quicker with AI.
Right.
You know, it's already very quick. If you wanted to, I could set you up in Montana Incorporation in about less than 10 minutes
right.
and get you insurance, everything out the door. And that's actually part of my Melton Metal business now. What I was finding is that the information I was giving was so much, so broad, and doesn't exactly apply to everybody's individual position. I started offering consulting.
Okay.
So I've been charging $85 for a half an hour of time, which is not, it's my welding rate. I'm $175 an hour mobile.
Gotcha.
So I'm not making any money.
Right.
I'm doing it because, like I said, this is how I can move it forward and I can give individual attention, where the YouTube is more broad. And if somebody has a direct question, we can schedule a phone call. I can answer it. And, you know, like I was telling you guys, if you're doing less than $1 million gross a year, I can probably help you.
Right.
You know, if you're grossing over $1 million, you probably have the answers.
Sure.
90% of guys that have, because you have to have a certain mentality to be an entrepreneur. You have to have a certain resilience. A lot of people don't have it. But the guys who are interested in getting into it and they're already taking the steps, buying the equipment, putting their neck out there, reinvesting in themselves, most of them already know the answers to their questions. They just need someone to say, yeah, you're right.
Right.
You know?
Make sure they're on that right path, doing things the right way. Yeah.
People need reassurance. And when you're not from a family like mine, where my father was an entrepreneur, you don't have anybody to get that reassurance from.
Yeah.
You know? And luckily I had somebody to say, hey, man, you think this is right? Am I doing this? Is this guy trying to get me? You know? Because a lot of what I help people with is, you know, like we talked about briefly, like David Bacon laws. Lien release waivers, contractual obligations, what liability you can relieve yourself with, how to relieve yourself of more liability, tax strategy. You know, I'm no CPA.
Right.
I can't give legal CPA advice. I can't give legal contractual advice, but I can tell you what I would do in your situation.
Right.
But that's why I'm starting to do it, is I want to give more individual attention to each individual entrepreneur so I can really help them.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is most people know the answer. Or if you're willing to go through the 500 plus videos I have, all of the answers are in there.
Yeah.
The answers are in those videos already. They've already been spoken about. Everything I'm going to talk to somebody about on the phone, if they don't have the $85, I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, it's there.
Right.
You know?
But I think you're right. I think someone who's already taken those steps to start that business, they're going in the right direction. Having that, you know, someone they can kind of speak to, rely on, and just get that reassurance of like, hey, yeah, you're doing it all right. Or, you know, maybe you're not completely correct and accurate, but here's, you know, a couple things you can do to make sure you're protected liability wise or, you know, whatever the case may be. But having that person that they can kind of talk to solidify.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
I've been there. Sure. I've done that. I did it the hard way. You know, my father's business wasn't as contractual as mine. And it wasn't as high liability. Sure, he'd have a guy with a dump truck body up and rip down some power lines or flip a dump truck and kill a family or something. That's all happened to my father. And which, you know, circles back to why I don't want a big company.
Right.
It's more liability. It's more problems. It's more nonsense. It's easier to stay lean, mean. And what I learned from him as well is you don't make any more money between $1 and $10 million. You make more. Once you break 10, then you're making more money.
Yeah.
Then you're making the more, you know, then you're starting to really build some wealth. And then from 10 to 100, it's about, at least from his friends and what I've seen, it's pretty close to the same.
Yeah.
You know, but when you scale a business that size, the headache scale.
Oh, big time.
The liability scales.
Yeah.
The money scales with the problems. And it's like, what level of stress, what level of time are you willing to sacrifice?
Right.
And time is something we don't get back.
Yep.
You know, time and health are your two biggest assets. Never trade your health for wealth, because your health is wealth.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you don't got your health, you don't have nothing. You know? I know 70-year-old guys that would go back to being 16 years old and not know what they know and be in a worse situation just to get that time back.
Right.
You know? But everything's perspective, and you gotta do what you feel you can do. If you want to be a $100 million company, God bless you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I've seen it. You know, I've seen it. I lived with it. I listened to the conversations he had. It was miserable. And God bless him for doing it. You know, I mean, you know, I gave you a little bit of his origin. His origin story is far more interesting than mine. I keep trying to tell him to write a book. I wish my father would write a book.
Yeah.
He, unfortunately, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this, doesn't read very well. Like I told you, he dropped out of high school. He got kicked out of his house when he was 13. I don't know if I was telling you or the CEO, but he worked for this guy named Crazy Jack.
Oh, yeah, he told me, yeah.
Yeah, he lived in a car, 13 years old. And Crazy Jack was so crazy that he only had cash, and this is in the 70s or whatever, and he would make my dad dig several holes around the yard. And Crazy Jack would, in the middle of the night, undig where the money was currently, put it in one of the new holes, and cover them all up in the middle of the night so that as to nobody would know where his money was hidden. So that was
unbelievable.
The kind of grit my dad had to have to pull himself out. You know, you can't pull yourself out by your bootstraps. Bullshit.
Right.
I lived with the guy who did it.
Yeah.
You know, because he's the only one in his entire family that has anything.
Right.
The rest of them.
Just how bad do you want it?
Yeah. He wanted it.
Yeah.
He wanted it real bad.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's a very successful guy. I'm very proud of him. And, I mean, if I didn't have that and I didn't have the other people who guided me along the way that I spoke briefly about, I wouldn't be here. And again, that's why I do the YouTube.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, pay it forward.
Pay it forward as many people as I can.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, it's a great story. I love hearing about it. Where can people find you, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or whatever?
So I'm Melton Metal Mobile, Melton Metal Anthony across all the platforms. You can find me anywhere but Twitter or X or whatever it is these days. I'm not into the, you know, but we're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Awesome.
Well, thanks for stopping by. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for talking.
Yeah, man.